This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
In September 2017, the Secretary, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, Government of India, released the Pharmacovigilance Guidance Document for Marketing Authorization Holders of Pharmaceutical Products in India. This guidance, which aims to assist these holders in establishing compliant pharmacovigilance organizations, became effective in January 2018. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of the DIA Global Forum. Today, my guest is Dr. Vijay Venkatraman, India Regional Editor for DIA Global Forum and Managing Director and CEO for Ovia MedSafe Private Limited in India. Welcome, Dr. Venkatraman. Very good to be with you.
Thank you, Dr. Grignolo, and it is my pleasure and privilege to be part of this podcast.
So to get us started, may I ask you to review for us the main goals and themes of the Pharmacovigilance Program in India? Let's call it PVPI, please.
Just to give you an overview, PVPI, the Pharmacovigilance Program of India as it is today, in its current form was conceptualized and began in 2010, July. And since April 2011, the Indian Pharmacopoeia Commission based in Ghaziabad has taken over as the national coordinating center for this program. Basically, the primary goal of the program is to safeguard the health of the Indian population by ensuring that the benefits of the use of medicine outweigh the risks associated with its use. So with this goal, the program was actually conceptualized in such a way that it would include most of the country and it would get as much information as possible about the adverse reaction in the Indian population and to identify new signals from the reported cases, to generate independent evidence-based recommendations on the safety of medicines, support the regulatory agency, that is the CDSCO, for formulating safety-related regulatory decisions for medicines, and then to communicate findings with all stakeholders and to create awareness among healthcare professionals about the importance of ADR reporting in India. So these are the primary goals and objectives at the conceptual level. And there are certain short-term and long-term goals that they also came up with.
Would you say that this program in India is similar to other national pharmacovigilance programs around the world, or are there some aspects of it that are different from similar programs around the world?
Basically, this program is similar in the way that it also feeds into the WHO International Drug Monitoring Program. It is an established national pharmacovigilance program which actually looks into collecting data from India on adverse event aspects in India. What actually differentiates it is compared to many other programs where the regulatory agency itself runs the program. In India, it is drastically different. The regulatory agency is different, and we have a different and independent body, which is the National Coordinating Center, which is the Indian Pharmacopoeia Commission, whereas the regulatory agency is different, which that is the Central Drug Standard Control Organization. So here, we also look at the structure of the program. The program in many other countries is completely centralized, whereas here, it is structured into zonal and regional centers, and we have something called the ADR Monitoring Center as the basic unit of the program, which is associated with medical colleges across the country. And therefore, we get a nationwide information on adverse events happening in different parts of the country. And this has contributed greatly to the success of the program so far.
So while PVPA has quite a lot of achievement to its credit, one thing that would actually do a little more good is having its own database. I think we are still working towards it, and at this moment, we don't have one, which is a significant difference when compared to several other pharmacovigilance programs in the world.
India, of course, is a huge country with 1.1 billion population. Implementation of this program must have its challenges. And I wanted to ask you about the use of technology to maybe overcome those challenges. Could you comment on the use of technology in pharmacovigilance in India, particularly in the context of this new guidance from the government?
Typically, as I said, the success of the Pharmacovigilance Program of India owes a great deal to the technology revolution that has happened, although it has not exhaustively utilized available technology to actually go to great heights. But at a practical level, a lot of good things have been done. So if you look at the overall scenario, we see that the DigiFlow software access is given to at the AMC level, ADR monitoring center level, so that each medical college or each AMC associated with the program can directly enter the ADR to the DigiFlow software. So that is one of the basic changes which we had compared to the programs or the previous versions of the National Pharmacovigilance Program. And then we have a helpline facility in the National Coordinating Center, which actually is a telephone line where people can call up, and it includes consumers as well. And they can call up and report ADRs, and they can ask queries, they can clarify their doubts on ADRs. So that is quite operational. That is one way in which they've used technology. And then the very interesting part is that there is an Android mobile application for ADR reporting, which can be used by healthcare professionals to report ADRs to the nearest AMC. And that is all structured very well in the Android application. And then another significant part is they've used social media greatly for the communication of the safety findings and to connect with the several stakeholders. The new age social media like Facebook, WhatsApp, LinkedIn, and Twitter have been very comprehensively used for social media for communicating the findings pertaining to PV data that has been gathered. And then coming to the guidance document in particular, what the document has actually done is like it has mandated a drug safety database for pharmaceutical companies now, because the generation of ICH E2B format XML files for ICH for submission is a mandate now, and electronic literature database such as PubMed is required according to the guidance document, because there is a monthly literature search that has to be done. And we have a requirement for a coding software, although they have not clearly mentioned as to whether they want Medra or Huart. It is mentioned that they need a coding software through which the ADRs have to be coded. And then ICD coding for indications of conmeds and concomitant medications and suspect drugs. That is also mandated by this new guidance document. So these are some of the things which I think how technology has been utilized by the Pharmacovigilance Program of India.
Did I hear you correctly? Did you mention that there are some smartphone apps that can be used for pharmacovigilance and for reporting adverse events?
Absolutely. It is an app called ADR Reporting, and the app can be used by healthcare professionals. And the mobile app captures all the information required for a valid case. And in fact, it allows you to enter the case further only if all four minimum criteria are fulfilled. And then the case, at the end of it, if you just at the click of a button, it converts into an email and it emails to the nearest ADR monitoring center.
Let me follow up on that a little bit and ask you, what is the status of electronic medical records in India? Are they potentially or actually a source of pharmacovigilance information today or perhaps in the coming years?
It is quite futuristic at the moment, because we have several systems of healthcare and several ways in which the medical records are maintained. And although most of the medical records today are getting converted to digital formats, we have quite a lot of paper backup. So it would take some time before we actually get into the real scenario where we have medical records in the digital format. I strongly feel it would be a good source of meaningful pharmacovigilance information.
Dr. Venkataraman, in 2016, you were co-author of a published paper titled Pharmacovigilantes in the Pharmacovigilance Program of India, Ideal Qualities and Skills. I'm curious, what are those ideal qualities and skills?
Basically, what we see in a growing country like India, where the pharmacovigilance program is just getting rooted, and we have successfully crossed 8 years of the pharmacovigilance program. So here we understand that capacity building is quite important, and we call these new pharmacovigilance professionals as pharmacovigilants. And we see that they need to have a mix of background principles of pharmacology, how they understand the concepts and context of pharmacovigilance, and then how they are able to relate it to the WHO International Drug Monitoring Program, into which the Pharmacovigilance Program of India feeds. And we also need to ensure that they have enough tutor literacy, because most part of this program are tech supported, and you need right from the entry of the database at the level of the AMC, interpretation at the level of the National Coordinating Center, and then ensuring that the information is captured in the WHO database, I mean UMC database. There is a lot of understanding they need to have on their basic IT skills, and they also need to have solid training on the VigiFlow software and how the VigiBase database is used. And now with a lot of industry activity also getting linked to PVPI, like the industry sends reports in XML E2B format to PVPI, and that information needs to be imported into the system. And that requires a lot of record keeping at the end of the National Coordinating Center, because for each case report that has come in, they also need to show their accountability, and they give an acknowledgement to the reporters of the adverse event from the industry. So that is also promptly being done now. And the challenge is, as the number of reports keep increasing, it is very important for the program to generate capacity building activities and to ensure that there is a career path for the pharmacovigilance.
It seems that PVPI in a country as large as India is going to require quite a lot of manpower. So I wanted to ask you, what about the talent pool in pharmacovigilance? Are there enough people to do this work? If not, what type of education can be delivered to people that want to get into this field? How is the talent pool being made larger, if you will, to support this big, big effort?
There's a lot of talent pool in India, visualized by the fact that we have quite a lot of global pharmacovigilance happening in India in terms of pharmacovigilance outsourcing and several global companies setting up their global pharmacovigilance units in India. So talent is definitely there. And we have a huge number of people who are graduating from medical and pharmacy institutions every year in India. And they're all looking for a global career, and obviously, pharmacovigilance suits them quite well. So where actually the focus needs to be is to ensure they are made aware of the various concepts of pharmacovigilance and the industry practices, the regulatory requirements, and the other soft skills and IT skills which are required for them to acquaint themselves with the pharmacovigilance job requirements. So these are the things that they need to do. Interestingly, PVPI is already doing this. They have started a pharmacovigilance training program, a 10-day program, which conducted 4 times a year. And with that program, they conducted zone-wise, and that way you have different parts of the country getting benefited from this program. And this is giving an authenticity to the pharmacovigilance training segment. So that is happening on one side. On the other side, we also have several private initiatives in developing pharmacovigilance talent. And then we also see that there is a lot of on-the-job training that is being generated when large CROs and several organizations set up their pharmacovigilance units in India. And this obviously gives a good opportunity for pharmacovigilance capacity building in the country.
Is the program you mentioned run and managed by the government and funded by the government?
Yes, the pharmacovigilance training program, which I mentioned, that is spearheaded by the PVPI, that is funded and managed by the government, and it is delivered at the National Coordinating Center, the Indian Pharmacopoeia Commission, Ghaziabad. In their premises, it is a residential program for 10 days, and the students are given didactic lectures, and they have several exercises, and they're given exposure to VigiFlow database, and they have the opportunity to acquaint themselves with the need, particularly from PVPI needs, and to an extent on what the industry needs from a PV professional. So that is trained by the PVPI themselves. And the interesting part is they've also collaborated well with industry. And there are quite a lot of industry professionals who deliver the lectures. And so the lectures are not always from PVPI staff alone. They have several industry professionals also delivering their lectures to the students.
So while it is true that PVPI takes care of the whole course and the majority of the funding comes from PVPI, there is also a fee associated with it, and the delegates pay the fee. And these delegates are primarily pharmacy and candidates from the life science and medical background.
Let's talk about patients. Of course, pharmacovigilance really is about patients and the medicines they take and potentially the adverse events they might encounter. So the question is, what opportunities exist in India for patients to contribute to benefit risk, post-market safety, and related discussions?
If you ask me about pharmacovigilance for patients, I think we need to be a little bit patient to see the real scenario, because as such, the word pharmacovigilance is still new for even doctors and the healthcare professionals who are involved in the healthcare delivery. So patients are probably trailing behind, but I can still say that there are some consumer associations and forums which have actually collaborated with PVPI. And such consumer firms have created a little bit of awareness. I wouldn't say that's too much. But on the other side, what PVPI themselves have done is they've reached out to consumers, released ADR reporting forms in 10 different Indian languages, and they popularized that through all the government hospital and the primary health center outlets. And through the PVPI entire network, they make the public know that such forms are available. And by mass media advertisements, by TV and radios, this information is spread. And the telephone helpline, which I mentioned earlier, that is also another opportunity where the patients are actually trying to get some kind of engagement in the program. And Android mobile application, right now it is primarily for healthcare professionals. There is also a scope for extending that to consumers in the future. And there is one more thing which the social media, which actually PVPI is promoting and using quite well for disseminating drug alerts and several signals that they have, potential signals that they've identified, that is shared with different stakeholders by the social media. And that is leading to a little bit of public engagement as well. And at the level of the ministry, there is a support which they want to render in terms of using the government machinery, the government channels of communication, the mass media communication. That is also, they are also supporting to reach out to the public on awareness about PVPI, not just PV. So these are certain initiatives which we are seeing today. I guess it will take some more time with it until we see consumer involvement in Indian PV. It is something that we can look forward to in the next decade.
And finally, Dr. Venkatraman, of course, you have been very active in DIA as India editor for Global Forum. So let me ask you, what opportunities do you think exist for members of organizations like DIA to contribute to pharmacovigilance and related discussions in India, and possibly to education of future pharmacovigilance professionals in India?
I have quite an encouraging answer, because most of the industry associations are quite positive about engaging in discussions on PV. And there is already a good collaboration or relationship with the PVPI, especially with the launch of the recent guidance document, which actually kind of links the PVPI, which was erstwhile just a program that received adverse events reported by HCPs to the government with little involvement of the industry. Now, the guidance document actually makes PVPI a stakeholder in the industry, because in the PVPI is being positioned as the scientific organization that will be taking care of PV related activities by the government of India. So with that, actually, a lot of interaction is happening between the industry and the PVPI. And PVPI frequently organizes industry outreach programs, and they are in touch with industry, and several industry delegates participate, and they brainstorming of issues pertaining to how PVPI expects the reports and how things are not aligned with the global practices they are. Those are aspects that are being discussed with the industry already. So DIA and other industry associations can probably play a greater role in fostering the relationship further, and by evolving best practices to come out. There are diverging viewpoints from the PVPI versus the industry. And as you can see, the industry in India is divided into global or multinational, or I would say foreign pharmaceutical companies which have an Indian affiliate versus Indian headquartered multinational pharmaceutical companies and just Indian manufacturers who don't have a marketing. There are then several other parts of the pharmaceutical industry. So the industry itself is quite diverse, and we have several micro, small and medium enterprises of pharmaceutical companies. So they have their own challenges, which is well understood by PVPI. But at the same time, it is very difficult to make a one-size-fits-all approach. And that is where actually the industry associations can involve and shape up the regulations and ensure that we are able to work out something that is doable and which is also somewhat aligned to the global practices. This is the biggest thing I think the industry can get involved in. And training and education is one area which already then the DIA is involved. And this can be probably structured toward the Indian scenario. And it's one area where probably DIA in India can work with PVPI. That is a possibility. And interpretation of the regulations for the compliance and how the industry addresses those interpretations. These are some dialogues that the industry associations can take up with PVPI. These are just my random thoughts.
Well, those are very good thoughts and very well organized, much more than random. Thank you, Dr. Venkatraman. And that's the end of our discussion. Thank you very much for sharing your expertise, great knowledge and insights with us today, and appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ignolo. It was a privilege speaking with you.
For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.